Applauding onlookers lined not only the road, but also many nearby rooftops and balconies.
"This is more like it," Seth said with relish.
Though Kendra found her brother's comment embarrassing, she couldn't resist a delighted smile. The welcome from the crowd was overwhelming. Moving up the road, Kendra realized that she had never encountered a comparable setting in all of her adventures on different magical preserves. This wasn't a group of centaurs or satyrs forming a loose community. This wasn't a single cottage or even a castle. It was an entire town, almost a city. It was orderly and detailed. She saw shops and eateries, inns and banks, townhomes and apartments. Thousands of people lived here. The tidy, time-worn buildings had history. It felt like she had crossed into another age or into the pages of a storybook. The modern world where she had lived and gone to school before coming to Fablehaven had never felt farther away. People continued to wave and cheer, and Kendra began to wave back. As she became less astounded by the crowd, she began to notice individuals in the throng. Equally balanced between men and women, most of the people appeared to be in the prime of life. Nobody looked extremely old, and she noticed few children and no babies. These fair folk looked like regular humans, except for one outstanding commonality. Every face she focused on was incredibly attractive. The women were gorgeous, the men striking. Not all in the same way. She saw a wide variety of hair colors, facial features, and skin tones, though each person tended to be tall and physically fit. This was not a town of beauty pageant contestants. It was an impossible collection of beauty pageant winners. These were not the people who showed up to audition. These were the people who got the part. Every countenance shone like that of a bride on her wedding day, or a young man entranced by his first love. In fact, the glow of their faces seemed to be literal, as if light fell on them a little more brightly and evenly than on anything else. A panel of judges trying to determine the most beautiful among either the men or the women would have to disband in frustration. Their physical beauty made the warm reception feel more flattering to Kendra, as if inexplicably all the best-looking and most popular people in the world had decided to celebrate her. Yet there was no condescension in their expressions, no hint that this exuberant welcome was a joke or a mistake. Could it be genuine, or was there a catch? The reception seemed too generous to be true. A single rider came loping down the road on a white horse. For a moment, Kendra wondered if the crowds might have gathered for him, but all attention clearly remained on her, Seth, and Henrik. When the rider drew near, he reined his splendid mount to a stop and raised both hands. The crowd immediately quieted. The young rider appeared to be around 16, his dark hair effortlessly stylish, his golden brown complexion flawless, his sea-green eyes playful and intelligent. This horseman could be the number one draw at box offices around the world, regardless of the quality of his movies or the top pop star in the music industry, no matter what melodies he chose to sing. Bracken was the best-looking male Kendra had seen in real life. With a very different look, this rider was his equal. Though none of the men in the crowd were less attractive than this young man, most looked too adult to make Kendra feel as flustered as she did now.
"Welcome to Terrabelle, Kendra and Seth Sorensen," the young rider proclaimed in a clear voice. "I am Gareth, second son of Lord Dalgarel. We only recently learned of your surprise appointment as the new caretakers of Wormroost."
"When they were presented as candidates to celebrant," Henrik explained, "the Dragon King forced Marat to instate them immediately or never."
"So we were informed by Marat," the young man said.
Well met, Henrik.
Well met, Gareth, the Alcitor replied.
Gareth looked to Kendra, unveiling a smile that made her feel adored and forgiven.
Follow me to the palace. My father awaits your arrival.
He winked.
We all look forward to meeting you.
Gareth swept an arm at the crowd, and the applause resumed. Following him up the road, Kendra could not help feeling undeserving of the jubilant reception. Though the cheers looked and sounded sincere, how could she accept the adulation? These gorgeous people didn't know her. She had done nothing to earn their praise. Was it manipulative? Were the fair folk trying to disarm her? The longer she observed the welcome, the more guarded she became inside. She noticed Seth having a good time. He laughed and waved and pointed at individuals in the crowd. By contrast, Henrik remained solemn, eyes on the road ahead, enduring the attention without acknowledging it. Kendra hoped she was striking a balance between the two, friendly and grateful, but not showboating. The palace gate stood open. Leaving the masses behind, Kendra rode into a spacious courtyard with glossy tiles that looked better suited for a fancy room indoors. Liveried servants took charge of the horses. After dismounting, Kendra became more aware of how all the people, both males and females, were taller than she was. Kendra had almost caught up to her mother, who seemed to be a pretty average height for a woman, but the typical height among the fair folk looked to be a good 6 inches taller. Though there were many curious, well-dressed fair folk in the courtyard, they watched with polite interest rather than applauding.
"Thanks for the procession," Gareth said to Kendra and Seth, his manner more casual. "Sorry for all the formalities. So many people were interested in seeing you, I'm not sure how else we could have managed it."
"No problem," Seth said, still beaming.
Gareth paused, gazing at Kendra.
"I'm sorry, you must get this all the time, but you shine so brightly."
Kendra felt warmth rushing to her face.
"Thank you?"
He gave a reassuring smile.
"It's definitely a compliment. Should we go see the old man?"
Kendra found herself not responding and was unsure how to fix the problem. That smile needed to be registered as a lethal weapon.
"Lead the way," Seth said.
"Your wooden friend is unusual," Gareth commented as they entered a high, broad hall with pale blue walls and white accents embellished by flourishes of crafted silver.
"Mendigo," Kendra said.
"Kind of our bodyguard."
"Can he talk?"
"No," Kendra said, "but he's perfectly obedient."
"I want one," Gareth said with light-hearted jealousy.
"We got ours from a witch," Seth said.
"Mendigo used to be our enemy."
"I want to hear the story," Gareth said.
"I've never had a real enemy. I have some rivals among the fair folk, but no foes from outside our society. I was born under our neutrality. Gets pretty boring if you ask me, but I'm not in charge."
Kendra wondered how it would feel to not have an enemy. She had developed so many over the last couple of years. They passed into a cavernous room where a distinguished-looking man sat on a jeweled throne atop a dais. Though the hair at his temples had hints of white, he remained vigorous and dashing. His chiseled features were enough like Gareth's that Kendra could see they were related, and he possessed an even darker complexion than his son. But his smile was not nearly as inviting.
"Welcome, Kendra Sorensen," the man on the throne said. "I was not informed that you are very kind."
Seth leaned nearer to Kendra.
"Did you get any of that?"
"Yeah," she whispered back. "You didn't?"
"I only caught your name," Seth said.
Kendra realized the man must be speaking a fairy language. Her fairy kind status let her understand fairy languages as effortlessly as English.
"May I present Lord Dalgarel, Protector of Terabel," Gareth inserted, his tone formal once again. "Yes, I am very kind," Kendra finally answered, "and my brother Seth is a shadow charmer."
"So I noticed," Lord Dalgarel said. "An unlikely pairing. Welcome, Seth."
"You're a shadow charmer?" Gareth asked Seth with interest. "I don't have my father's eye."
"An adult is speaking," Dalgarel said in a hard tone.
"Apologies," Gareth said with a small bow.
"I understand him now," Seth whispered quickly.
Kendra realized Dalgarel must have switched to English. She disliked his severity toward his son.
"Please excuse the absence of Lady Dalgarel," the man said. "She is feeling unwell, and this audience comes at short notice. I am given to understand that you have already been appointed co-caretakers with Celebrant."
Kendra glanced around the room. Many men and women were assembled, all breathtakingly attractive, dressed like royalty. She felt intimidated to admit they had strayed from tradition.
"Celebrant demanded," Henrik began.
"Hold your reply," Dalgarel said, raising a hand.
"I know what Murat claims. I want to hear from our new friends."
Seth showed the medallion.
"Yes, we're already the caretakers."
The room was very quiet. Dalgarel polished one of his rings with a fingertip.
"Were you aware that the fair folk normally approve the prospective caretaker before the appointment is made?"
Kendra knew part of their purpose here was to apologize for breaking protocol. Dalgarel might be having this conversation in front of others to make sure the apology was public. She and Seth wanted his support and, hopefully, some information. Despite his arrogant attitude, she needed to get this right.
"We had never heard of the fair folk before coming here 2 days ago," Kendra explained. "We only learned how your approval normally works while talking to Celebrant. He told us we had to accept the job and be appointed right then, or never."
"Murat tried to get him to wait so we could talk to you first," Seth added.
"You feared the displeasure of Celebrant more than the prospect of offending the fair folk," Dalgarel summarized.
"We still got plenty of his displeasure," Kendra said. "He tore down the perch where the caretakers talk to dragons."
"So I understand," Dalgarel said.
"The Dragon King made it clear we're not friends," Kendra said. "We skipped your approval because otherwise Celebrant would have stopped us from becoming the caretakers. It seemed necessary. We apologize."
"Celebrant does not make idle threats," Dalgarel said. "He would have blocked your instatement had you ignored him. The question remains whether a pair of mortal children have any business becoming the caretakers of Wormroost, especially during this uncertain period. Did it occur to you that Celebrant might not have wanted you to talk to me because I would have spoken against this terrible idea?"
"Wait a minute," Seth said. "I'm not sure it was terrible."
"Did Celebrant's eagerness send no warning signals to Murat?" Dalgarel asked.
"Murat had other reasons for wanting us to become the caretakers," Kendra said.
"Those reasons are best examined in private," Dalgarel said. "I pity you poor children. I will not add to your woes with displeasure for proceeding without my blessing. You came here promptly to apologize. Apology accepted. But your problems remain. In the darkest hour this sanctuary has seen, Wormroost has never been in less capable hands."
"It won't be an easy job," Kendra said, making an effort to stay humble. She noticed Seth glaring at her and hoped he would keep quiet. "We'd appreciate any advice or suggestions."
"I am not heartless," Dalgarel said. "You are young and most likely doomed to failure. Go with Gareth to the Green Parlor, and I will come condole with you about your misfortunes in due time."
"Thank you," Kendra said.
Seth gave no answer, but raised his eyebrows at Kendra. Gareth led the way out of the room.
Chapter 16 Hints. Seth sat trying to get his temper under control in a fancy room with furniture and walls done in shades of green. He knew this mission was diplomatic, and he knew Kendra wanted him to be polite, but it had been hard to stand there taking insults from Mr. Neutral.
"Are you all right, Seth?" Gareth asked.
Seth realized his expression was probably not very guarded.
"Never better." "My father tends to speak his mind,"
Gareth apologized. Seth couldn't hold back.
"If he has so many brilliant ideas about how to run the sanctuary, maybe he should get involved."
"Seth!"
Kendra scolded. Gareth held up a hand to stop her.
"I hear him. The complaint makes sense, though you're right to bring it up with me rather than with old Stony Face, especially when he is before an audience. Plenty of the fair folk are reluctant about our neutrality, including me."
"Really?" Seth asked.
"Then why not join the fight?"
"It's complicated," Gareth said. "The neutrality wasn't imposed by my father. It's a long-standing policy for all the fair folk."
"Wouldn't want to mess up a policy," Seth grumbled.
"The ancients set the rules," Gareth said. "Our ancient leaders make the Fairy Queen seem young. The fair folk have a long history. Experience has shown that when we get involved in conflicts, the trouble gets worse for everyone."
"So you sit out of every fight," Seth said.
Gareth shrugged.
"It isn't easy. There are times I want to get involved. Injustices I want to right. Embattled innocence I want to rescue. But who am I to shatter our truce? We would respond against a direct attack. We keep our defenses ready, but thanks to our neutrality, the fair folk have not suffered a major attack in thousands of years."
"What if the sanctuary falls?" Kendra asked. "You'll do nothing?"
"The fair folk are not in charge of Wormroost," Gareth said. "Terrabel can stand even if the sanctuary fails. We will look to our own defenses."
"Do you care if it falls?" Seth asked.
"Of course I care," Gareth said. "We all care. We want stability. We don't want mayhem. But we won't break our neutrality."
Seth couldn't help noticing that Gareth sometimes used nicknames for his dad in private, but was very polite in public. He doubted whether Gareth would share his dissatisfaction about the neutrality in public either. Were all the fair folk like this? Afraid to speak their minds? Afraid to stand up for what they believed? The door opened, and Dalgarel entered with a girl about Seth's age. Seth tried not to pay too much attention to girls as a rule, but this one was stunning. Light blue eyes, black hair that fell in twisty curls, and a beautiful face.
"We meet again," Dalgarel said. "May I present my daughter, Eve? I understand you may have brought a small creature for her amusement."
Seth reached into his pocket and pulled out Calvin. The Nipsey gave a quick bow.
"I'm more a tiny person than a creature," Calvin explained. "No fins or fangs or exotic feathers. Hope I don't disappoint."
Eve hurried over to Seth, peering at the tiny man.
"You're so small, but you're not a fairy."
"I'm a Nipsey," Calvin proclaimed. "I'm quite big for my kind, enhanced by a spell. Bit of a giant in Nipsey circles, believe it or not."
"I've never met a Nipsey," Eve said. Her eager eyes shifted to Seth. "Can I hold him?"
Seth passed Calvin to her.
"I've never met any of the fair folk," Calvin said.
Eve held him close to her eyes and prodded his belly.
"Watch it,"
Calvin said.
"That tickles."
"Can we keep him, father?" Eve asked.
"You know the rules," Dalgarel said. "No outsiders can join us here. Not even brownies."
"He's so small," Eve complained. "Nobody will notice."
"Enough," Dalgarel said shortly. "Enjoy him as a visitor."
"Can I take him to my room?" Eve asked.
"He's not a doll," Seth told her. "Don't dress him up." Eve made a face.
"Why would I do that? I'd rather find a little axe and see how he does against a mouse."
"Sounds sporting," Calvin said.
Dalgarel rubbed his forehead.
"Enough nonsense. Eve, show the Nipsey your room if you must, but treat your guest with the utmost respect and civility."
"As you wish, father,"
Eve said with a little curtsy. "Is that okay?" Seth asked the Nipsey. Calvin winked and saluted.
"Happy to entertain."
Seth realized Calvin was excited for a chance to snoop around. "See you later." Eve raced out the door.
"Thank you for accepting our apology," Kendra said.
"Was there another option?" Dalgarel replied. "The damage is done. Celebrant has secured the ideal caretakers for his uprising. It only makes matters worse if I undermine your authority with my displeasure."
"Why do you think we'll be so bad?" Seth challenged. Dalgarel gave a chuckle.
"Your mortal children. Dragon sanctuaries are typically supervised by wizards, mortals of great power who are formerly dragons. I do see that you have power. Nobody has been very kind for a good while, and a shadow charmer can be useful. I sense you have defeated some powerful foes, even a dragon, correct?"
"We killed Saletta together," Kendra said.
"No small feat," Dalgarel acknowledged.
"Kendra killed the Demon King," Seth bragged on her behalf.
"So I have heard," Dalgarel said. "You might not want to boast of that feat to every stranger you meet. Acts of aggression can invite retaliation."
"Gorgrog was attacking us," Kendra said.
"Because you put yourselves in his path," Dalgarel said. "I have heard about the Battle of Zizix. Seeds were planted that day for a major war between demons and dragons."
"But we stopped the demons from taking over the world," Seth said.
Dalgarel gave a small smile. "Is that so? Some might claim you merely postponed them. Others might point out the demons never had a chance to make their intentions clear. Still others could argue you destabilized the dragon sanctuaries and laid the foundation for a worldwide draconic rebellion. With your new positions as caretakers, you will have an excellent view of the consequences."
"We stopped the demons," Seth said. "We'll contain the dragons."
Dalgarel chuckled again.
"I understood that the dragons redirected the demons, but I respect your resolve. Kendra mentioned that Marat had other reasons for wanting you as the caretakers. I am willing to hear them."
Seth glanced at his sister. She looked uncertain.
"The reasons are kind of secret," she said.
"You are welcome to keep your secrets," Dalgarel said. "But if you want my advice, I need to better understand what you two hope to accomplish as caretakers. The fair folk are reliable at keeping secrets that would give anyone an unfair advantage," Henrik informed them. "You should want any counsel Lord Dalgarel is willing to share."
"The defenses at Blackwell Keep have weakened," Kendra said. "Celebrant keeps attacking because he senses a vulnerability. Marat hoped that having mortal caretakers would repair the magical defenses."
Dalgarel sighed sadly.
"This is why Celebrant did not want you talking to me before your instatement. The vulnerability was not related to the caretaker being a dragon. Marat stayed in his human shape. So long as he remained in that form, the qualifications were satisfied."
"Are you sure?" Seth asked.
Dalgarel scowled.
"I have been here since Worm Roost was founded. I know more about this sanctuary than most. My official position is neutral, but I do not want to see Worm Roost fall. I don't want dragons unleashed on the world. I would have warned you. The caretaker of Worm Roost was Marat, one of the dragons with the strongest allegiance to the wizards of Dragonwatch. He was a formidable opponent for Celebrant. Now the caretakers are a pair of novices."
"Do you want us to succeed?" Kendra asked.
"What a surprise that would be," Dalgarel said. "But yes,
For the good of the world, I would prefer you maintain the integrity of the sanctuary. Balance brings order and peace. History has shown that few circumstances disturb balance more than dragons on the loose. Agad should have considered that before bringing dragons into the fight at Zizix. Maybe he did consider it, Seth said. People who actually fix problems sometimes have to take risks. Dalgarel glared.
This conversation can end immediately if my suggestions are unwanted.
We want them, Kendra said, elbowing Seth. Seth is new to the concept of our neutrality, Gareth explained.
Then it is one of many issues he does not comprehend, Dalgarel said.
No long-term good has ever come of the fair folk going to war. The fewer groups at war, the less strife in the world. We are a voice of reason, encouraging other members of the magical community to seek diplomatic solutions. We host peace talks. We counsel against aggression. Our neutrality has brought greater peace than any harm we could have prevented through violence.
If you say so, Seth mumbled reluctantly.
He knew arguing about neutrality wasn't the purpose of this visit. They needed information. Do you know how we can fix the defenses? Kendra asked. Do you understand what's wrong?
Dalgarel gave a gloomy smile.
I do.
Then can you tell us? Seth asked.
The information is too vital to come from the fair folk, Dalgarel said.
Seth tossed his hands up. Of course it is! Is there anything you can tell us? Kendra begged. Dalgarel looked from Seth to Kendra.
Your brother is a terrible diplomat, but you have some promise. I understand that his youth, his ignorance, and his inexperience are speaking as much as anything, but even so, he is a caretaker of Wormroost, and due to his outbursts, I am disinclined to help you.
I'm sorry, Seth said, not meaning it, but trying his best to sound sincere. Please, you must be able to give us a hint, Kendra said. Dalgarel stared at Kendra for a long moment.
Agad should not have let Celebrant take the scepter. He should have given him the medallion instead.
The medallion doesn't work? Seth exclaimed.
The medallion functions, Dalgarel said. But it is vulnerable in a way the scepter was not.
Why? Kendra asked.
I have already explained too much, Dalgarel said. You are the caretakers now. You have access to the secrets of Wormroost if you learn where to look. And as mortals, you can gain information from a nearby source Agad and Murat may have been hesitant to approach.
The Dragon Slayer, Henrik said, realization in his voice.
Who? Kendra asked.
Each of the hidden dragon sanctuaries has a designated Dragon Slayer, Henrik said. Ours is the Somber Knight.
Is he at Blackwell Keep? Seth asked. I didn't see any knights.
None have seen him for centuries, Henrik said. If he is still alive, he resides in the catacombs beneath Terrabel.
He might be dead? Seth asked.
Possibly, Henrik said. None have communicated with him in a great while. He has a gloomy reputation.
Isn't this place supposed to be neutral? Kendra asked.
Terrabel is neutral, Dalgarel said. The fair folk did not place the Dragon Slayer here. His lair was created by the founders of Wormroost. We have no direct affiliation with the Somber Knight and cannot be held accountable for his presence or his actions. He is a cold-blooded killer known for his stark outlook and unpleasant disposition. His purpose is to wage war against direct physical threats to this sanctuary. But he does have knowledge.
He's still there? Kendra asked.
He should be, Dalgarel said. The legendary dragon slayers are virtually immune to the passage of time.
We killed a dragon, Seth reminded everyone.
Any who killed a dragon earned the title of dragon slayer, Henrik said. It is not easily done, but only a handful have held the designated office of Dragonslayer. It's an appointed calling, a lifelong responsibility. There are never more than 7 in the whole world. The somber knight has been at Wormroost since the beginning. He might be able to answer the question Lord Dalgarel has raised.
Why wouldn't Agate or Murat approach him? Kendra asked.
The designated dragon slayers exist to protect mortals from dragons, Henrik said. Their enmity with dragons runs deep enough that they have never been too friendly with wizards either, even the wizards of Dragonwatch who established Wormroost. Desperate times can forge unusual partnerships. This particular dragon slayer has an especially dark reputation, but the Somber Knight is here as a failsafe in case of emergency. As caretakers, you have a right to introduce yourselves.
Perhaps you can learn some of what you want to know, Gareth said. Is he safe? Kendra asked.
That is not the word I would use, Dalgarel said. But you and Seth are indeed the caretakers of Wormroost, Henrik said. You have the medallion, and you are not wizards. You should be able to confer successfully with the Somber Knight.
I'm sold, Seth said. How do we find him?
The easiest access would be through a portal that connects to the dungeon of this castle, Dalgarel said.
Can I escort them? Gareth asked.
I hold no objection, Dalgarel said.
What about the Nipsey? Seth asked. Calvin?
It might be best to leave him with Eve, Dalgarel said. The Somber Knight is not fond of visitors. He is fatalistic and slow to improvise. The two of you will place plenty of strain on his hospitality.
Comforting, Kendra said.
You may want to leave the Limberjack behind as well, Henrik suggested.
Will you join us? Kendra asked Henrik.
I had best not, the Alcitor said. But I'll accompany you to the edge of his domain and await you there. Visit the Dragon Slayer, Dalgarel advised. Deal carefully and keep your wits about you. Perhaps he can aid you in ways I cannot.
More like will not, Seth mumbled. Lord Dalgarel gazed at Kendra.
You're about to confront a powerful warrior with a notoriously difficult disposition. If you return without your brother, I may not be surprised.
Chapter 17. The Somber Knight.
This is the dungeon? Seth asked with unmistakable disappointment. Kendra had to agree it was surprising. A brightly lit hall stretched ahead of them, the ceramic tiles of the floor immaculate, bouquets of flowers suspended at intervals along the painted walls. The even light came from plentiful globes rather than torches.
I know, tidy, Gareth said. Outstanding food. For a while, we had people breaking minor laws just to eat here.
Really? Kendra asked. Gareth raised a hand.
Guilty. I spent a week down here for taking someone else's horse for a ride. The judge knew I wanted in. He tried to let me off with a warning. I had to haggle.
Was the food good? Seth asked.
Fabulous, Gareth said. The cooks are real artists, and it was fun to be part of the trend. We'd still have a petty crime problem, but they opened up a wing of the dungeon to paying customers.
What about the actual prisoners? Seth asked.
Gareth chuckled. We have plenty of room. There are only 3 regular prisoners. A giant who attacked Terabel like 1,000 years ago. We tried to release him, but this has become home. There's also a werebore who comes in voluntarily when the moon gets big, and the rebel Lomo, son of Terragon.
Is he one of the fair folk? Seth asked.
Yes, Gareth said. You might like him. He sure wasn't afraid to speak his mind. Lomo fought against our policies of neutrality and eventually became a vigilante. He left Wormroost entirely. The fair folk are not bound to the sanctuaries. We're here voluntarily. After involving himself in multiple fights out in the world and on other preserves,
Loma was caught and sentenced to the dungeon until he vows to abide by our policies.
He goes free if he just agrees? Kendra asked.
He's far too stubborn for that, Gareth said. It could end up as a life sentence.
Do you like him? Kendra wondered.
Who doesn't? Gareth said. His only crime has been his refusal to abide by our neutrality policy. Many of us share some of his opinions. The difference is, he acts on them. Some of us half admire it, but we have laws for a reason. I helped hunt him down and catch him.
Was it hard? Seth asked.
It took some time, Gareth said. I wish I could say I played a key role. I was there to support the expert trackers. I was mostly just grateful for the excuse to venture out into the world. The fair folk don't join in battles anymore, but we still police our own.
He's the only criminal from your people? Seth asked.
Gareth shrugged. We've been around a long time. The worst of us were weeded out long ago. They left or were exiled. Most of us have learned to get along. When problems arise, we can usually settle them without resorting to the dungeon.
Why even bother with a dungeon? Kendra asked.
Tradition, I guess, Gareth said. We used to have castles where the dungeon served a real purpose.
There is much to be admired about the order of your society, Henrik said.
Gareth grinned.
And plenty to dislike about our isolation.
Kendra tried not to melt at how adorable he looked when he smiled. Bracken was definitely her one and only, but wasn't it natural to notice when somebody was attractive? Glaringly, relentlessly attractive?
Here we are, Gareth said as they turned a corner. Ahead, a bulky iron door awaited. Beyond here, we'll find the catacombs.
Is that where fair folk go for dessert? Seth asked.
Gareth produced two keys and opened a pair of locks, one high and one low. The catacombs should better match what you were expecting. Murky and mysterious.
The door swung inward to reveal a dusty passageway made of stone blocks, lit only by the light spilling in from the dungeon.
Kendra could see a long way down the dim corridor. Ever since she had become fairy kind, no darkness could completely blind her.
Dark? Kendra whispered to Seth.
Pretty dark,
he replied. Gareth handed Kendra a short silver baton with a light globe at the end. He gave Seth and Henrik similar batons.
Any monsters? Seth asked.
There shouldn't be anything serious, Gareth said.
Our scepter protects Terabel from most threats above and beneath. We don't often venture into the catacombs. Nothing worse than giant rats has been reported.
Kendra froze.
Giant rats aren't serious?
Nothing bigger than a dog, Gareth assured her.
Think we'll see any? Seth asked.
We could get lucky, Gareth said.
I'm in the middle, Kendra declared, positioning herself between Gareth and Henrik. After entering the corridor, Gareth closed and locked the door. If I die down here, don't forget to take these keys.
He dangled them for all to see, then winked as he tucked them into a pocket.
What if the rats drag you away? Seth asked.
Let's all just live, Kendra suggested. They started down the passage. The way forked more than once.
You know your way around in here? Seth asked.
Not all routes, Gareth said. The catacombs are one of the few places to find a little adventure without leaving Terabel. I come here with friends sometimes when we need a thrill. One of our most typical dares is to touch the door to the Somber Knight's lair. I can get us there, no problem.
I'm memorizing the way back, Henrik said.
The cool, dry air smelled of dust and stone. Everything seemed still and silent, as if they were the first people to walk these halls in centuries. Kendra wondered how long their footprints in the fine dust on the floor would remain undisturbed. Though she stayed alert, she saw nothing more threatening than tattered spider webs.
Beyond a crumbling archway, the hall became more like a natural cave, both wider and more rugged, though remnants of masonry still clung to some surfaces. Kendra heard faint chirps and squeaks in the distance that might have been bats or mice.
"This is a cave now," Seth said. "There are lots of natural caverns down here," Gareth said. "Dead caves, old and dry. We're getting close."
A structure came into view up ahead, projecting from the wall of the cavern, dim at first, then illuminated by their batons. The building seemed like a large tomb, the stonework smoother and in better repair than anything Kendra had seen since leaving the dungeon. Stone stairs led up to a pair of carved bronze doors.
"This is where we part," Gareth announced. "We'll wait for you here."
"Is it unlocked?" Kendra asked.
"Not likely," Henrik said. "But this dwelling was designed to be accessed by the caretaker. Use the medallion, hold it up, and ask for admittance."
"Just ask?" Seth questioned.
"Wizards built this place," Gareth said. "They tend to be practical." Kendra mounted the steps beside Seth. He lifted the medallion, stretching the chain forward.
"Open for the caretakers," he commanded.
The bronze doors immediately began to swing inward, squealing like a pod of dolphins. Kendra took a step back.
"It worked," Seth said, sounding surprised.
Behind the doors, a wide corridor was lit by large globes emitting bluish light. The floor, walls, and ceiling were composed of huge blocks of pale stone, snugly joined. Cold air flooded out, making Kendra shiver.
"We should have brought coats," she said.
A lightweight jacket slid over her shoulders from behind.
"Take mine," Gareth said.
Tailored to fit him snugly, the stylish jacket was roomy on Kendra, hanging almost to her knees. A faint smell of him lingered with it.
"Thanks," she said, her cheeks flushing. "Anytime," he replied warmly, then retreated down the stairs to stand beside Henrik.
"Come on," Seth said. Kendra followed Seth down the hall, their batons adding white light to the blue glow of the globes. No dust or webs polluted the pristine corridor. The cold air smelled pure, if not quite fresh. Didn't truly fresh air require a hint of life? Plants or something? They descended stairs as wide as the entire hall. Kendra guessed that 10 people could go down them at once, shoulder to shoulder. Then the hall ended at another set of bronze doors. Looking at Kendra, her brother held up the medallion. Before Seth could speak, the doors swung outward, revealing a wider, taller hall. At the far end, a huge knight sat on a throne, clad in a full suit of elaborate black armor that left no skin visible. An enormous sword rested across his knees.
"Who approaches?"
asked a very deep voice that carried extremely well despite speaking softly. Kendra wondered if it was being amplified somehow.
"The new caretakers of Wormroost," Kendra said. "Kendra and Seth Sorensen."
The knight gestured for them to come forward. The closer they got to the throne, the better Kendra appreciated the scale of the knight. Standing, he would have to be 10 feet tall. The armor looked so thick and heavy that part of her wondered whether he could stand at all. What if a little man with a microphone was standing inside the huge chest?
"Who is behind this chest, young ones?"
the knight asked, his voice slow and melancholy.
"Surely you are not the true caretakers."
"No joke," Seth said. "We were appointed yesterday. Celebrant is the other caretaker."
"I know about the two dragons," the knight said glumly. "Marat and Celebrant. It's a dark hour when dragons govern their own prison. Makes me tired. But children, I see the medallion, I feel the authority. Are there no other humans left to fill the post?
No good candidates who are dragon tamers, Kendra said.
You two are dragon tamers?
The knight asked.
How?
We hold hands, Kendra said. The knight shook his head.
Of course you do. How quaint. And naturally, I am the dragon slayer who now works for children after the dragon king has risen to the office of caretaker. Tell me, has a perpetual winter been declared? Is the sun never to rise again?
It isn't that bad, Seth said.
Easy words from the mouth of a child,
the knight said morosely.
If you had lived through the horrors and atrocities that plague my waking visions and haunt my dreams, you might not be so quick to underestimate the coming calamity.
What do you think will happen? Kendra asked.
The same as always. Beauty will fade. Prosperity will end. Singing will turn to lamentations. Old age will follow youth, and sickness will replace health. As soon as you are born, death is waiting, inevitable as nightfall. The rising tide of evil will swallow hope and truth and light until only the void remains.
And I thought Whiner was depressed, Seth muttered to Kendra.
Who is Whiner?
The knight asked.
A wraith I borrowed not too long ago, Seth explained.
We can fight the evil, Kendra said.
Alas, this is my lot,
the knight said.
I wait here in the darkness, not quite dead, not quite living, bleak and useless as a monument to a forgotten kingdom, awaiting the call to arms. I stand watch as the centuries turn to millennia, as the same cycles repeat, pretending that when I am called, I can help by adding to the carnage.
Have you slain a lot of dragons? Seth asked. The knight patted his sword.
That I have done, more than my share. I know my trade, but it is like sending a hydra to a headsman. For every dragon I kill, a new nest is born. We had the dragons in our power. We could have destroyed them, but no, no, no. Why end the threat forever when we can shelter them and give them eons to respawn? And as their numbers grew, those who once opposed them dwindled into obscurity, training no replacements. When the dragons get free this time, there will be no protectors. The world will reel, crops will burn, cities will fall. Humanity will scatter and quail as merciless monsters inherit the earth.
You are depressed, Seth said.
I am called the Somber Knight,
he said. I think I see why, Kendra said. Do you still hope to win? The dragons haven't escaped yet. Maybe we can keep them at the sanctuary. The somber knight gave a slow chuckle that sounded like it could turn to sobs.
Hope fled long ago, but I will not surrender.
He stroked his sword.
I will walk the weary path of duty until the bitter end.
We wouldn't mind some help, Seth said.
Neither would I,
the somber knight said.
Ours Days and years have become voids within voids. I stand alone against the impossible, and the universe sends children. How can I serve you? Would you care for some candy? Perhaps a bedtime story?
I bet he knows some good ones, Seth muttered to Kendra.
I have a feeling they would give you nightmares, she mumbled back. Then she raised her voice.
We need to stop Celebrant. He is trying to take over the sanctuary.
I would gladly be of service, the somber knight said, but I am bound until the dragons stray outside their covenants.
Celebrant ripped down the perch, Kendra said.
Was anyone hurt?
The somber knight asked.
No, Kendra said. Marat protected us.
Celebrant is a fellow caretaker,
the somber knight said.
With that status, I'm not sure I could attack him, no matter what rules he violates. Since the perch was neutral territory, he was within his rights to destroy it.
He has attacked Blackwell Keep more than once, Seth said.
To no avail,
the somber knight replied.
There is no penalty for testing the barrier.
So, once we're dead, you'll come avenge us, Seth said hotly.
The somber knight's voice remained low and calm.
If you die unlawfully, I may be freed to exact retribution.
Can you fight all the dragons of Wormroost at once? Kendra asked.
Of course I could,
the somber knight replied.
But I would perish. I would struggle to best a single dragon in a fair fight. Enchanted armor and ensorcelled blades only get you so far. You don't slay dragons without fighting smart. You engage them on your terms. You rig everything in your favor. Then you might stand a chance.
We slayed a dragon, Seth said. Saleta.
You two raided the dragon temple?
We had help, Kendra said, but we killed Saleta. It was an emergency. We were racing against people who wanted to open Zizix.
Saleta had a peculiar set of talents,
the somber knight said, leaning forward, his voice more interested.
Unusual attacks and defenses centered on her poisonous nature. How did you do it?
Unicorn horn, Kendra said.
Ingenious,
the dragon slayer said.
That shows promise.
He slumped back and sighed.
Too bad you'll both be dead soon. So young.
We're not going to lose, Seth said.
Noble attitude, young one,
the somber knight said.
Hold to your post. Go down fighting.
We're hoping you can help us, Kendra admitted.
With the burial? No need. There will be very little left of you. Dragons are thorough.
We're trying to figure out why Celebrant keeps attacking Blackwell Keep, Kendra explained. Do you know why the defenses are vulnerable?
Will knowing make any difference?
The somber knight asked glumly.
It might help us go down fighting, Seth said. It might give us a chance.
The somber knight tapped his sword.
Have you any suspicions?
Is the medallion weak? Seth asked.
Blackwell Keep once held the medallion and one of the seven scepters,
the somber knight said.
Celebrant asked for the keep's scepter when he became a caretaker. Now only the medallion protects Blackwell Keep. Do you know where the medallion gets its power?
Magic? Seth asked. The treaty? Kendra asked.
Both true in part,
the somber knight said.
The gem in the medallion is from another of the scepters, the hidden one, the seventh. Only five scepters remain active. One was never recovered when the roost fell ages ago.
What's the roost? Seth asked.
Do Do you truly know so little about the sanctuary you oversee?
The somber knight asked. We're new, Kendra explained. Help us learn.
The roost is Worm Roost Castle,
the somber knight said.
The caretaker used to split time between the castle and the keep. The scepter at the castle was lost, and the seventh scepter was hidden when this sanctuary was founded. It is connected to the medallion.
Why not keep the scepter with the medallion? Kendra asked.
Wizards are always trying to control their environment,
the somber knight said.
The rest of us attempt to do the same by diverse methods, but the majority lack the power to succeed like wizards can. Wizards appreciate redundancies. The complicated locks they create for their prisons are a good example. With one scepter already at Blackwell Keep, the wizards hid the other elsewhere and magically linked it to the medallion.
So if somebody stole the scepter at the keep, the other would still be hidden? Seth asked.
Yes,
the somber knight said.
And the magical defenses at the keep would hold. Even if the medallion fell into the wrong hands, it would be difficult to harm the defenses without finding the associated scepter. Celebrant must have sensed that the power source for the medallion is not at Blackwell Keep. Perhaps he thought that meant he could overpower the defenses. I do not believe he can. But if he finds the connected scepter, he could gain easy access.
So we need to find the scepter, Kendra said. The somber knight inclined his helmeted head.
Now that the previous scepter has been given to Celebrant, Blackwell Keep will be more secure if the scepter connected to the medallion is retrieved.
Where is it? Seth asked.
I am not sure,
the somber knight said.
I expect the founders concealed it somewhere at Worm Roost, but even that much is not certain.
This is a big preserve, Kendra said.
Enormous,
the somber knight agreed.
Finding the hidden scepter is a hopeless task. Even without competition from the Dragon King, you could spend the rest of your lives searching and never come close. Or you could be killed by whatever traps or guardians undoubtedly protect it. The hidden scepter is not casually concealed. It is hidden very well.
Do you have any idea where we could start looking? Seth asked. You want Worm Roost to survive.
Indeed,
the somber knight said.
I want Worm Roost to survive, and I know it will not. And so do you. Beginnings and endings, that is the world we live in. All is temporary. Worm Roost had a beginning, and so it must have an ending. It's only a matter of time before it all comes crashing down.
We'd like Worm Roost to outlast us, at least, Kendra said.
Your lives are brief,
the somber knight acknowledged.
With such a limited span of days, some will live through sadder times than others. I'm sorry that you are here now. I am sorry you were tricked into this predicament. You were appointed captains of a sinking vessel. I have a longer lifespan than you. I have seen much. Seasons of order degenerate into chaos. Devastation comes and goes. I await the next hour when I am needed. It always comes.
We need you now, Seth said.
I can take only limited action,
the somber knight said.
You want to prolong the inevitable demise of Worm Roost. You desire help finding the scepter. I have one proposal, by no means a certainty, As a rule, I avoid dragons except to dispatch them. But there is one dragon at Wormroost who might be able to supply the information you need. Dromedus.
Tell us about Dromedus, Kendra said.
A former dragon.